Welcome back, dear friends, to Bible Sunshine. It's a beautiful spring day here in Brooklyn, New York, and it is a blessing to be able to study God's Word together. So I hope you'll open your Bible to Joshua chapter 9 or find chapter 9 on your phone. And let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to bless our time in the Word of God. Dear Father, thank you so much for loving us, sending Jesus to die on the cross that we might be forgiven and have eternal life. And thank you, Lord, for sending the written word that we might know the mind and will of God. So teach us today your precepts, strengthen our hearts from your word. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. What is a blessing to slowly work our way through a passage of scripture. You'll notice that if you are with us each day, by the time we come to the last step of inductive Bible study, we have read and reread verses of the chapter. So that's an excellent point when you study Scripture. Don't get in a hurry to answer questions before you understand what you've read. Read and reread and even read again. Well, we're ready here for the last two steps of inductive Bible study. We've done the observation of chapter 9. We've done the interpretation, and now we come to correlation. Of course, there's so much more that could be studied and said about these things, but let's go to the correlation stage. And this is where we're connecting other scriptures with verses and themes that we see right here in chapter 9. So if we go back to verse 6 and verse 7, we find these words. They went to Joshua to the camp at Gilgal and said to him and to the men of Israel, "We have come from a far country. Now therefore make a covenant with us." But the men of Israel said to the Hivites, "Perhaps you dwell among us, so how can we make a covenant with you?" And verse 11, "Therefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spoke to us, saying, 'Take provisions with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say to them, We are your servants. Now therefore, make a covenant with us.'" So here's the question. What do other scriptures say about Israel making covenants with the Canaanites? I notice again verse 15, "So Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live. And the rulers of the synagogue swore to them." So the Gibeonites came up with this scheme. They deceived Joshua and the rulers of Israel. What do scriptures say about making covenants with the Canaanites? And I've listed a few scriptures there in your notes. So let's go look at them. Exodus 23 and verses 28 and following. "And I will send hornets before you, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before you. I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. Little by little, I will drive them out from before you until you have increased and you inherit the land. And I will set your bounds from the Red Sea to the Sea of the Philistines, from the desert to the river, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you shall drive them out before you." Is this clear or what? "You shall make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in your land, lest they make you sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you." God said, "I'm going to take you into the land. I'm going to drive out the inhabitants. Do not make a covenant with them." What did Joshua and the rulers do in Joshua 9? They made a covenant. Look at Exodus 34, verses 11 and 12. Exodus 34:11. Observe what I command you this day. Behold, I am driving out from before you the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Hivite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. Take heed to yourself, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land where you are going, lest it be a snare in your midst. But you shall destroy their altars, break their sacred pillars, and cut down their wooden images, for you shall worship no other god. For the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Were they to make a covenant with the people? Were they to adopt their ways? Not at all. Look at the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7, in verses 1 through 5. When the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go to possess, and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Have you heard these ites before? God knew exactly who lived there. He spells them out. He says here, Deuteronomy 7:1, seven nations mightier, greater and mightier than you. And when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them, nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughter to their son, or take their daughter for your son, for they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. But thus you shall deal with them. You shall destroy their altars and break down their sacred pillars and cut down their wooden images and burn their carved images with fire. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. God made it very clear. You belong to me. You are to destroy the enemies because their heinous and gross idolatry and immorality are a stench to me. And so you are to go in and execute my judgment on them. Don't make covenants with them. I love Deuteronomy 7:6. You're a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. It is the loving grace of God that chose the nation of Israel and said, you're unique, you're to be different from the others. In the New Testament, the church is the same, a treasure, a peculiar people to live forth the glory of the one who called us out of darkness. Well, look at Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verses 16 through 18. And these passages make it very clear that what Joshua did with the Gibeonites was not what God desired. Deuteronomy chapter 20, notice verses 16 through 18. But of the cities of these peoples which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance, you shall let nothing that breathes remain alive, but you shall utterly destroy them, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, the Jebusite, just as the Lord your God has commanded you, lest they teach you to do according to all their abominations, which they have done for their gods, and you sin against the Lord your God. You know, we forget how offensive to the God of the Bible is idolatry. The Ten Commandments teach us clearly, you shall have no other God before me. And so God knew that the pagan lands of the Canaanites would be a threat to his people Israel and to the continuance of their belief in the one true God. And so he said, my judgment has come on them. What did Joshua do here in chapter 9? He made a covenant. He was tricked. So they were forbidden to make covenants with the pagans, lest they learn their ways and be deceived by them. They were to destroy the pagan peoples and their idols, because God wanted the people of Israel to be preserved holy unto him. This practice that Joshua did was unequivocally forbidden. So may God help us to do as he has said, and by his Spirit to follow his word. Well, the second question on correlation is based on verse 14. Find other scriptures which counsel against self-reliance and commend to us explicit trust in the Lord. Now, I would encourage you to find other correlation questions or statements or scriptures. We have a few that we list here, but you know, the Bible is so full of truth and detail. Certainly, we're not exhausting it. So come up with some other questions and other correlations with other texts. But here's this one. Are there other scriptures that counsel us to not trust in ourselves, to trust in the Lord fully? Well, you only have to read the book of Psalms to answer that question in the affirmative. But various places in Scripture, we can see the problem with Joshua 9:14b, but they did not ask counsel of the Lord. For example, we are encouraged in Psalm 25 to ask God to teach us his way. Aren't these beautiful words? Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Should we wait on the Lord for the answers? Should we seek God's ways, his truth? Absolutely. These are beautiful verses for day-to-day living. Just think about these verbs. Show me, teach me, lead me. On you I wait. So we are to wait on the Lord. Now, these truths of trusting the Lord are not just in the Psalms. Obviously, they're in Joshua 9:14. But the Psalms have so much to teach us about waiting on the Lord and seeking his mindset. Psalm 34, verse 10, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Isn't that good? You need counsel, you need advice, you need direction. Well, go to the Lord. Those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Psalm 34:10. How about Psalm 37? I hope you're familiar with Psalm 37. What a blessed psalm. Well, they all are, but how wonderful are these words. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit, roll your way on the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. What blessed words. Now, in my Bible, I have underlined, do not fret, verse 1, nor be envious, in verse 1, trust, in verse 3, do good, dwell, feed, all in verse 3, verse 4, delight yourself, verse 5, commit your way to the Lord, trust, verse 5 also, he shall bring it to pass, verse 6, he shall bring forth. I don't have bring forth underlined, I have righteousness underlined, but it all deserves to be highlighted in our minds. Verse 7, rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him, do not fret, and those who wait on the Lord. So these verses teach us to not lean on our own understanding, to not try to work it out our own way. Here in the cause of some evil person prospering, we can get all bent out of shape. We can fret. Instead of that, let's delight in the Lord. Someone reminded me recently of something that I learned some years ago. I'm pretty sure it was not original with me. And it was to do this. Take a sheet of paper and put two columns. My job and God's job. And just go through some verses here in Psalm 37 and list the things that God tells us to do and put those down one at a time under the column, my job. I am not to fret. I am to trust in the Lord. I am to delight myself in him, and so on. Let's just take verse 4. What's my job in verse 4? Delight myself in the Lord. What's God's job in verse 4? He shall give you the desires of your heart. You see, we get so frustrated when we try to do God's job. I want him to give me the desires of my heart, so I'm going to go get the desires of my heart. No, what he tells me to do is to delight in him. Let him do that. Let him give the desires of our heart. So many times we get ahead of God, just like Joshua did with the Gibeonites. Here's another one. I am to not fret because of the evildoers. Verse 2 says, they shall soon be cut down. Is it our job to cut down the evildoers? That's God's job. My job is not to fret and not to be envious. So there are many scriptures that counsel against self-reliance and commend explicit trust in the Lord. God willing, we'll pick up there on Tuesday with our study, and we'll begin also chapter 10, Lord willing. We have two very different countries that both need our prayer today. One is the European country of Germany. Germany was where the Protestant Reformation took place. It was a center for that through the ministry of Martin Luther, who brought us back to the scriptures and back to faith in Christ alone. But listen to this prayer request from Operation World. The nation's spiritual health is failing. Humanism and destructive criticism of the Bible in the 19th century enfeebled churches and opened the way to compromise and to pagan Nazi tyranny in the 20th. Post-war dynamics accelerated the secularization and de-Christianization of society. Symptoms of this sickness are, three are given, symptoms of this whole post-war secularization in Germany, de-Christianization, the marginalization of Christianity, the rise of false religious teachings, including Satanism, and mental illness. Get this, suicide is the second largest killer of 15 to 29-year-olds in Germany. Germany needs our prayer. And then we go to the great continent of Africa, to the country of Ghana. And we have a special brother in our church from Ghana. Listen to this request. Missionary personnel are still needed to serve as Bible teachers and trainers, Bible translators in support roles, and even as pioneer evangelists. A key area for prayer is for healthy, helpful partnerships between indigenous church leaders and missionaries. So let's pray for the mission activity that is there and pray for more. Just one other thing about Ghana. Street children number over 30,000, possibly that many in Accra, that's the capital, alone. A host of ministries work with these needy children who usually are abandoned or orphaned. Let's go to prayer. Dear Father, we come before you in behalf of these two great nations, Germany in Europe, that has had the gospel, that has had the scripture, and is becoming de-Christianized, and so many false things are filling the gap where Christianity once stood. Oh God, we pray that the remnant that is there, that you would revive the believers there, that you would mobilize witnesses with the gospel, that you would expand the evangelical church there, that you would open doors for mission activity within Germany. We pray, Lord, that the land would be revived and brought back to biblical Christianity. Lord, do a mighty work there. Break down the idols of secularization, and may the gospel triumph there. And we pray for Ghana. Thank you, Lord, for the Christians that are there. Thank you for the mission activity that's taken place over the years. Lord, send forth more laborers there to spread the gospel, to train pastors, to plant churches. Bless this African country and send laborers there and strengthen every true believer. Give them the Bibles, the resources, the access to online helps and to films. Lord, we pray that you will stir the hearts of your people there. And Lord, I lift up these 30,000 street children. You know every single one by name. Lord, would you send laborers to them? Give them a spiritual family. Give them those who will love them and feed them and clothe them. And most of all, share the gospel with them. Lord, do a work here in America for your honor and glory through your people. Multiply the impact of your word, we ask in Jesus' powerful living name. Amen. Well, God bless you, friend. Thank you for joining us today on Bible Sunshine. God willing, we'll see you on Tuesday at noon. And I trust you have a wonderful weekend and you are with God's people worshiping and learning and responding to God's truth. May his light shine on you today.